trusting God through trials. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the Old Testament reading is from Job. It's an alternate reading. I looked at the other readings and, well, Job should have a lot of sermons preached, not just one, maybe. I'm going to utilize, we heard today chapter 2, but I'm going to have a quick look at chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. It kind of brings us through quite a bit there. And the interesting thing at the start of Job is that Satan has the idea that Job only follows God and believes in him and stays true to God because he gets a lot of good things from God. And would he still do that if that was all taken away? That's the big question at the start, that this dialogue between Satan and God is. If you didn't keep giving him good stuff, would he still follow you? Maybe we look at the next slide. Now, so in chapter 1, Job has one tragedy after another. Actually, it happens more to other people, of course, people who are dear to him, or also to him. He loses his wealth, the things in his life, his possessions, and his children are all taken from him. Very tragic. And how does Job respond to such overwhelming loss? I think his reaction is profound. And it's these words that we know quite well, I think familiar to us. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Quite words of faith, really, to be able to say that when what he's facing. But I want to take you through a few chapters to see. Well, it's not always praise the Lord from Job's lips, actually. The next slide, maybe. We see now Job himself physically suffers in chapter 2, and that's what we heard. His physical health deteriorates and he's afflicted with these painful sores. And his wife, in frustration, urges him, are you going to keep being faithful to God? Why don't you curse God? Say evil things to God. And Job is still amazing with his statement of faith. His response remains steady. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? He said. However, Job is suffering terribly, and some friends who came to see him couldn't offer any words to comfort him. And now I want to go to chapter 3, so that's the next slide. Because now Job actually stops maybe saying those quite pious sort of words of faith, and he goes into a lament, that sort of old English word, a lament. He cries out, why? Why, God? Why is this happening? A lament is a deep and honest expression of pain and confusion to God. It's said to God. That's an important thing. So he was giving his faith words to God, and now his kind of unfaith words to God still. And that's not unfaith because he's giving them to God. So what Job is doing is more than, it's not complaining, it's more than complaining. It's a heartfelt cry of someone struggling to understand the pain they're going through and pouring that out to God. God, I don't understand. Job is not just speaking out into the thin air there. He's talking to God. It's a prayer to God, really, this lament. And the Bible, we should be aware, is full of people of faith calling out to God like that. So there's lots of examples. I'll just say Moses, for example. When he went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, the Pharaoh just made it tougher for them. And then the people made it tough for Moses. You know, they went complaining to Moses and blaming Moses. And Moses says this, Lord, notice that, he's talking to God, why have you brought trouble on my people? Gideon was questioning God's presence in the time of trouble, and he says, the Lord, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, why has this happened? So that's just two examples of still calling out to God in those distressful ways of expressing themselves. We think of Psalms, the book of Psalms. Generally, we think of the book of Psalms as songs of praise, but 65 Psalms are Psalms of lament, of saying these exact sort of things to God, expressing deep sorrow, frustration, confusion to God. They're prayers to God. They're songs to God. There's even an entire book of the Bible called Lamentations. God's people, it looks like, do complain to God. Question God. Why did this happen, God? Where is God in all this? But here's the key. It might not seem like it, but that's still an act of faith to pour all that out to God. It's not just that what we saw in chapter 2 where Job said, really standard and good expressions of faith that you could hardly expect from someone suffering. That he sometimes looks like some kind of saint to be able to say that. But now we get to chapter 3, after chapter 2, what we heard today, and Job lets it all out in chapter 3. He brings his lament to God honestly, telling God what he thinks, what he's going through, and how he feels. And it's quite negative. Job says things like this. Why wasn't I born dead? So that I wouldn't have to suffer all this stuff. Why was I ever laid on my mother's lap? Why did she breastfeed me? Why is life given to those with no future, those God has surrounded with difficulties? So it's quite different to his expressions in chapter 1 and chapter 2. I just want us to know that and realize that it's not all plain sailing for followers of God. And even when it's tough and we can say, God is with me, but sometimes we can say, is God with me? Are you with me, God, through this? The saints can say that. Job doesn't hold back. He lets God know exactly how he feels. Why did I even live to see suffering, he says. And this is the heart of lament. Not pretending everything is okay. Not putting on a show before God. Yes, I believe in you. I've got my strong faith. But bringing your full, messy and broken selves to God. Maybe there's a hint of this in a psalm that we all know very well. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't go around it or under it. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God is with me. God is with me. We go through it with God by our side. Now, Job says another, he ends his lament with saying, why was I even born? Why was I even born? Then he says, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. I have no peace, no quietness, no rest, only turmoil. So Job's fears have become reality and he's really, really suffering here. How do you endure when something becomes a reality, something so terrible that you've feared couldn't happen to you does happen to you. How do you maintain faith in such a situation? That's the real and tough question that Job asks. Well, there's another lament in the Psalms that I'd like to just focus on, and we could see that it's already there. That comes from Psalm 22. This, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that. Jesus said it on the cross. So this lament brings us to Christ. This brings us to Jesus and his lament on the cross. In his greatest moment of suffering, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus does that. Jesus is in pain. And when Jesus shouted out to God like that, or cried out to God like that, my God, why have you deserted me? It was not only his private suffering in that cry to God. When Jesus said that, that desperate cry, my God, why? Jesus was joining all of the desperate cries that people have in his cry and bringing it to God. All the tough things, lives ruined by one thing or another have cried out like this, or people standing at their dying relatives, young or old, or some tragic accident or terrible disease have cried out like this. Why, God? Why does this happen? Why are you letting it happen? Maybe you've cried out like that. You think of the times in your life if you have gone through something so terrible. What if you haven't, but you might come to such a situation? What if you have times of despair and you completely feel helpless and hopeless? What if you have to go through something that makes you wonder, does God really care? Does he really love me? All of these cries, even if I've never said them with my lips, but I might have felt them in my heart, Jesus gathers all of these desperate cries, the cries of my cries and your cries, and he joins them all when he cries out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? All of our cries are joined in that cry. And Jesus, as we see it, he doesn't say, he's not crying out to space. He's crying out to God. He's calling out to God. He's calling out to God. So he's turning to God in that desperate time with all of our desperate cries. He's turning to God. And that means in what I think is Jesus using that Psalm 22 on the cross is that he's gathering all of our desperate cries and handing them over to God. Handing them over to God. My despair, my doubts, my struggles, my frustrations, my questions. He brings all of that to God and he hands it over to God. And surely there is hope and help when my despair, my doubts, my struggles, my frustrations, my questions, surely there is hope when that can be handed over to God. So we don't have to put on a front. We can hand it over to God. Jesus does that. Even when you're going through these toughest of times in your life, Jesus has been there. In fact, he's been through worse than we will ever have to face, because Jesus did face God deserting him, forsaking him. And because he did that, we never have to do that. God is there. God is there. We can. Jesus brought that to the end, the desertion of God, or God ever being capable of leaving us, forsaking us. Jesus brought that to the end. He said, it's finished. It's finished. Now, even when you can't feel God's presence, when you're going through the toughest of times, yes, you can lament. Tell God, I'm going through this. Bring your rawest and most painful emotions to God. You can do that confident that he stands there with you and for you. And you can do that because of Jesus. Amen. the peace of God, which is beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.